This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. Now, the Coalition for the International Criminal Court has been relaunched to urge Putrajaya to ratify the Rome Statute once again. And the Rome Statute established the ICC to end impunity for individuals committing some of the most serious crimes known internationally, like genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, as well as crimes of aggression. And the ICC is meant to function as a court of last resort if Malaysia is unwilling or unable to take action.
So the Malaysian Center for Constitutionalism and Human Rights Chief Human Rights Strategist Firdaus Hosni has actually called for Malaysia to sign the treaty. He believes that the country's moral credibility and moral standing might be lost if the country fails to become a signatory. And this is especially after the country's bold position on the persecution of the Rohingya and Uyghur, as well as the conflicts in Israel-Palestine.
Meanwhile, criminal lawyer and International Criminal Court Counsel N. Sivanathan contended that constitutional monarchs had a small risk of being persecuted by the ICC. The most vocal critic, of course, has been our Johor Sultan, Ibrahim Sultan Iskandar. He said that ratification would violate the federal constitution, specifically on matters of monarch, Malay rights and Islam.
So to get into some of the details of this proposal, we have with us on the line Andrew Koo, co-chair of the Human Rights Committee of the Bar Council. Thank you for joining us, Andrew. Now, what can the government do differently this time when it comes to ratifying the Rome Statute?
Well, ideally, you know, if we could roll back the clock, we would do things perhaps slightly differently. But now that things are water under the bridge, as it were, we know what the objections are, and we know basically who the objections are coming from. And I think the government can specifically address these two issues head-on by having perhaps a wider engagement with all who are interested in this area on the issues, but also then perhaps focus more specifically on the groups of people who have raised the objections, to understand the objections and to allay their fears and concerns.
Andrew, what are the most common misconceptions regarding the Rome Statute?
Given what we have seen in the past, I think it's fair to say that the main objections revolve around the three R's in Malaysia: race, religion, and royalty. And the impression that was given, which is wrong, but nonetheless it was given, that somehow accession to the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court somehow jeopardized the Malayness of Malaysia, the Muslimness of Malaysia, and the monarchical nature of Malaysia. And I think when you have those three R's together, they are a potent recipe for deep concern and a shaking of the Malaysian identity. So I think people perceive it as a threat to Malaysia's sovereignty, Malaysia's identity, and Malaysia's independence. And so these are the misperceptions. And I say they are misperceptions simply because at the end of the day, they are not true. But like any urban myth, you know, truth or lack of it is, after a while, not the consideration. It's just captured in the public imagination, and people go along with it without really understanding the basic facts.
Meanwhile, how has the perception of Malaysia changed since its pullback of ICERT and the Rome Statute in the eyes of the international community?
To be fair, I think the international community now has concerns about the level of certainty that they can place on any commitments made by the Malaysian government, because now they are not sure if you say yes today, but in a month's time, you change your mind. Or you announce this one day and, you know, a couple of weeks or some months later, you know, as a result of riots in the streets or demonstrations in the streets, you suddenly turn around and say, oh, we've decided that we are not going to do it now. So all these policy U-turns does not contribute to a high degree of confidence in the word of the Malaysian government, you know, and at best we are, you know, we are as good as our word. So if we say we're going to do something and then ultimately we don't, then people begin to say, well, can we really fully depend on Malaysia to honour its commitments at the international level?
Thank you so much, Andrew. And that was Andrew Koo, co-chair of the Human Rights Committee of the Bar Council. And he's highlighted the uncertainty that he sees on an international level in regards to the Malaysian government because of this kind of almost flip-flopping in terms of the announcements and the decisions they've made to ratify certain international treaties. And the Rome Statute is the prime example of this because Malaysia ratified it, Malaysia signed it in March and withdrew from it in April. So that was a one-month turnaround very quickly.
Yeah, and I think the Bar Council man is quite right in pointing out that the race, religion, royalty trifecta of combustion in Malaysia is a potent one. And it seems almost incongruous that these issues might be even paired with things like human rights, but unfortunately in Malaysia they are. But what we do know is that the International Criminal Court now, because it's the Rome Statute ratifies it in a way as being the first independent international court. And what's important to note is this court prosecutes individuals, not groups or countries. So that's one important point to take away from this whole fracas.
The other thing which I thought was very interesting, which Andrew highlighted, is as a country, we're only as good as our word, right?
That's right.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, every time we give our word and then we take it away, doesn't it diminish what...
Diminishes trust our government's decision-making.
Exactly. So next time when we go to another convention and we sign it, will we then have everyone wondering how long are we going to stick with this convention maybe change our mind next week, you know? And how does that stand in terms of our global standing among our peers?
Absolutely. Now, also, we did ask you this morning in a poll on the BFM Twitter account, what do you think of the Rome Statute, whether you understand it? We've had about 60 votes so far. 20% said yes. Yes, absolutely. 55% said that they've heard about it, but no, they don't understand it. Another 16% said, what's the Rome Statute? So I think it just shows that even though we talk about it so much, there is still a lack of understanding amongst the Malaysian populace about what actually this Rome Statute would mean for the country.
Well, I was once watching Jay Leno, and Jay Leno actually went to the streets of Times Square, and he showed American passersby, a picture of Barack Obama, and they asked him, do you know who this person is? And do you know what? Most of them didn't even know who this guy was. So are we surprised that in Malaysia people don't understand the ICED and Rome Statute?
Perhaps not, if that's the case. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.